As a man, finding a great pair of pants feels harder than it should. Some look sharp but feel stiff. Others are comfortable but wrinkle, stain, or lose their shape by noon. And if you're working, traveling, or constantly on the move, most pants just cannot keep up. That's where Jack Archer comes in.
JackArcher.com delivers one pair of pants designed for real life. Whether it's golf with the guys or date night with someone special, these pants will keep you comfortable and looking polished wherever the day takes you.
That's right, Mark. The Jack Archer Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built to hold its shape all day. With customizable fit options and multiple colors, these are the one pair of pants you'll want to wear every day.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order with code GETJACK at JackArcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at JackArcher.com for 15% off your first order.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When winter days are shorter and schedules are packed, it's easy for kids to lose focus. IXL turns that winter slump into momentum with a simple, stress-free way to keep skills sharp and stay engaged without adding pressure. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning across math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade. With personalized practice, instant feedback, clear explanations, and progress tracking, it's easy to fit into even the busiest week. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
It's the Amazing Rico Bronya Podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
I would like to wish everybody listening a very happy spring training eve. We've almost made it. It has been a deep, dark winter, but here we are on the eve of spring training 2026. Welcome in to Rico Bronya. We plan on giving you many Ricos over the course of this spring training, preparing you for the 2026 season. And we also plan on giving you many Ricos this week as we open up spring training, from Carlos Mendoza's meeting with the media to our 26-man roster projection to meeting the non-roster invitees. We got a lot of Ricos to get to as we get you set for the start of this season. But what I wanted to do today on this edition of the Rico is kind of look at this offseason as a whole, because what was very difficult throughout this offseason was judging it as it was happening. And you know, it's always a challenge. And you know it's happening in the moment. Like when they trade Brandon Nimmo for Marcus Semien, which was the first major move of this offseason. I remember on that Rico saying, yeah, here's my honest reaction to it. But I'm not really going to know until the entire painting is created. You know, same thing with even signing Devin Williams not too long later. You know, I remember doing that, Rico, saying, yeah, I like Devin Williams. Is he the setup man for Edwin Diaz, or is he the closer replacing Edwin Diaz? And that would certainly formulate an opinion. Same thing with losing Pete Alonso. Okay, I'm emotionally hurt. I'm over it. Let's move on. What are they going to do about it? And so here we are in what I think is the end of the offseason. There are some thoughts and rumors about Brett Beatty and Mark Vientos, which I do want to address at the top. And then we'll do a big breakdown. Is this team better than last year? Simple question. Simple question that's a lot more complicated than the simpleness of the question, which we'll get into over the course of this pod. But let's start off with the rumors around Brett Beatty and Mark Vientos. I'm not one to say don't trade a player or you can't trade a player. There are very few baseball players that you cannot trade because, as the great Ted DiBiase used to say, everybody's got a price. So I am not telling you into a microphone that the Mets can't trade Brett Beatty. Of course they can. Or that the Mets can't trade Mark Vientos. Of course they can. But as we begin spring training, I do see clear roles for them. Now, that will be dictated by their performance. That will also be dictated by the emergence of young players, specifically Carson Benj. But I see, going into the start of the year, valuable roles for both Mark Vientos and Brett Beatty. I'll start with Brett Beatty. He's obviously not going to play third base, barring injury to Bo Bichette. And that changed when the Mets made the move for Bo Bichette. He's probably not going to play a lot of second base unless there's injuries to Marcus Semien. The hope is Marcus Semien is going to be the guy he was prior to last year, and he's going to go out and play every game. Now, does he get an off day once every 2 weeks? I guess maybe, but ideally Marcus Semien is out there every single day. So the two positions that Beatty's played a lot of over the last year or so, he's not going to play. At least the plan right now is for him not to play it. But I absolutely see a role for him at first base, left field, and DH. Jorge Polanco is learning the position. We have no idea how reliable he's going to be defensively at first base. So I absolutely see an avenue where Brett Beatty plays a lot of first base. And the other factor with Polanco, which we'll get more into as this Rico goes on, and we've touched on this before, his track record is of one who gets hurt. Like, that's just the facts. Like, Jorge Polanco is not this reliable, he's going to definitely play 155 games. Unlike Marcus Semien, who I just mentioned, his career resume says he likely will, you can't say the same thing about Jorge Polanco. So first base becomes not just a position that Brett Beatty should play or may play at the start of the year in conjunction with Polanco, but he very well could end up as the most of the time first baseman. That is not like some foreign scenario. The other thing is left field. I want Carson Benj to win the left field job. I mean, why wouldn't I? He's a former first-round pick. He's a huge prospect, and prospects excite all of us. We want them to be stars. It's the hope of a new beginning. So Carson Benj coming to Port St. Lucie and hitting 375 and winning the left field job is the best-case scenario for us as Met fans. But there's a skepticism towards that because he hasn't played a lot of AAA. Now, is Carson Benj going to take advantage of that opportunity? If he doesn't, okay, if he doesn't win that left field job, if the Mets deem that Benj needs a little bit more time in the minor leagues, Brett Beatty, again, in my opinion, the way I would line it up, is the most of the time left fielder. Yes, Tyrod Taylor, football on the brain, folks. Tyrone Taylor would come into games late for defense. They just added MJ Melendez, who I'll get to in a minute as well. But I could see him playing a lot of left field. And then you have DH, and this is where Mark Vientos is intertwined in this. Mark Vientos right now feels like the designated hitter, not just against lefties, but even at the start of the year, especially depending on what happens in left, Mark Vientos is going to get a lot of at-bats. And when you look at the other pieces, like if the Mets traded Mark Vientos for a prospect or for a bullpen arm or for whatever, who is taking those at-bats? Tyrone Taylor, ideally, is a fourth or fifth outfielder. MJ Melendez, if he makes the team, is a fourth or fifth outfielder. So when you look at this roster, and you say to yourself, all right, well, who's getting those at-bats? Is it Ronnie Mauricio? I guess maybe. You know, I have penciled Mauricio into going down to AAA, but could he be the guy who emerges as the designated hitter? I guess that's on the table. But I would prefer Vientos getting that opportunity. So both guys coming into the start of the season, I think, have very viable roads to getting a lot of at-bats. Does it mean I can't trade them? No. I mean, if you're giving me a value on this trade that helps this team greatly, of course, I'm open to it. But if we're talking about a prospect, well, the Mets are so deep with their prospects. That's why I was explained it was an no-biggie that they traded Brandon Sproat and Jet Williams for Freddie Peralta. So are they really in this need for improving their farm system, which is already a top five farm system in the sport? A bullpen arm, sure. But you take a look at a guy like Dennis Santana, former Met, once a Met, always a Met. Is that really worth Mark Vientos or Brett Beatty? My answer would be no. So, and of course, I'm bringing up the Pittsburgh Pirates because Andrew Filippone, who I trust, had that report that they're interested in Vientos and Beatty. And I don't doubt their interest, though I think it's probably lesser in Vientos today than it was the other day because they signed the former douche from Atlanta, Marcell Ozuna. But my mood going into the start of spring training is that I would prefer not to trade either guy unless it's some great value. Now, let me get to MJ Melendez. Couple of notes on MJ Melendez. Number one, and Hoff said this to me initially as soon as they signed him, and I know why. It's because we play fantasy sports. Initially, Hoff's like, oh, he's our backup catcher. He's not really the backup catcher. They took catching duties away from him a few years ago in Kansas City to let him focus more on, you know, actually hitting major league pitching, which he's had a tough time doing. So he's more of an outfielder. Where I would factor him in as a catcher is if the Mets are comfortable once in a while putting him back there, that could potentially allow, you know, Francisco Alvarez to DH, or potentially allow, you know, being more aggressive using your catchers off the bench. Sometimes you got to be a little bit more careful because you don't want to leave yourself naked. And the thing about Alvarez DHing is that one of my hesitations, at least for me, has been if you're going to pinch hit for Torrens late in the game and you move Alvarez to catcher, you're losing the DH spot, which doesn't feel worth it. If you're confident, at least, that MJ Melendez could go back there once in a while, I'm not even talking about him as a backup catcher, but just every once in a while, then absolutely that adds a value. But I think that's a great question for Carlos Mendoza. Like, do you feel comfortable with him going back there to catch? But the thing about Melendez is that he hasn't consistently hit major league pitching. He's hit down in the minor leagues. He's got some pop. I haven't seen him enough every day to know about his defense. I do know Tyrone Taylor is elite defensively in the outfield. But if you look at this roster right now, especially the 40-man, and we'll get into the non-roster invitees in a couple of days, there is a viable route for him to make this team, MJ Melendez. You know, Jared Young, I think, is on the outside looking in. Nick Morabito is probably going back down to the minor leagues. I guess Vidal Brujan is a candidate. So I could see Melendez making this team even without injuries, but obviously a lot of that has to do with Carson Benj and his emergence. So those are some quick thoughts on the trade rumors, the addition of Melendez. Now, let's go big picture. It's over, right? The offseason is done. The painting is complete. If any more deals are made, they would be surprises. If they trade Brett Beatty, if they trade Mark Vientos, I would be surprised. The crux of this offseason is done. Now, keep this in mind, because this is very different than when we did this pod 365 days ago. When we talked a year ago, the thought was, yes, the Mets should be better, but all they've got to do is replicate what they did a year ago, maybe win a few extra games, and we're fine, because they were coming off an 89-win season. And so if you could win 91, 92 games, I think in this day and age, maybe lock is a strong word, but you are very, very likely to be a postseason team. So I looked at last year, coming into last year, comparing the 24 numbers to what I expected in 2025, and I said, you know what, if you can replicate that, we're good to go. That is not the case off an 83-win season. Clearly, this team needs to improve. And what's really odd about looking at last year versus this year is that they're just so freaking different. And that's the first thing that jumps out at me specifically about this lineup. Last year, the New York Mets, in my opinion, did not score enough runs. Now, they picked it up late, especially in August when they hit with runners in scoring position. But I remember saying to you guys before this season started, the New York Mets need to be a top three offense in the National League. They weren't. They were sixth. They were ninth in Major League Baseball. A year earlier, they were seventh. So they were slightly behind in terms of rankings, scoring runs in 25 versus 24. And as I made a big deal about at the end of last year, they ended up scoring just a shade fewer runs. They ended up averaging 4.73 runs last year. A year earlier, it was 4.74. So similar range, but I think when you factor in, you've added Juan Soto, which was the headline going into last year, they needed to be better. And I go through this every year. As important as pitching is, and it is, we'll get to that, trust me, in a few minutes, we still live in a world, as odd as it is, where if you score runs, you're going to make the playoffs. I mean, you have a better chance of making the postseason being a top five offense than you do a top five pitching staff. And if that sounds crazy, just look it up. Just look at the numbers. We went through this a lot last year. So can this offense be better than it was last season? Let's start with the additions versus the subtractions. When you crunch the numbers of McNeil, Nimmo, and Alonso, and then you compare it to Semien, Polanco, and Bichette, it is comparable. It is very, very close. But what jumps out at you is that they're just different. So, for example, the offense that they just lost struck out significantly more than the offense they just added. When you look at the WAR, which includes defense, the war they just added is a little bit better than the war they subtracted. When you look at home runs, the home runs they just added are 40 less than the home runs they just lost. When you look at the OPS, very, very comparable. When you look at the batting average, higher with what they added than what they lost. So when you look at what they lost to what they added, to me, one of the main conclusions is they're very similar. They're just different, if that makes any sense. They're similar in terms of overall production. They're different in how we get there. My big concern about what they added versus what they lost is the reliability aspect of it. Brandon Nimmo and Pete Alonso, say what you want about them as players, would play every game. There are questions about Jorge Polanco. A little bit about Bo Bichette. You know, Bo Bichette had that year 2 years ago where he missed half the season. Last year, he missed the last month of the year. I wouldn't call him an injury-prone player, but has he missed more time in his career than the guys they lost? Yeah, specifically Nimmo and Alonso. So it starts with reliability. I think they lose a little bit there. They lose a little bit of power, but they have gained a lot in terms of not striking out. This is one of those things that's very difficult to define. When you don't strike out, you have productive at-bats, or at least you have a better chance of productive at-bats, which has a chance to produce more runs. And that can't be defined by RBIs, can't be defined by that. There's no stat necessarily that defines that. But Bo Bichette hitting a weak ground ball to second base that advances Juan Soto to third, as opposed to Pete striking out, that matters, even if we can't calculate it. And that's for everyone out there who says, I'm still hung up on Pete Alonso. I just gave you benefit to Bo Bichette. So I think when you look at the losses versus the gains, it's very similar. Now we have to throw in, they added Luis Robert Jr. Now, the thing about Robert Jr. is injuries, major concern, production. Yes, it hasn't been there in 2 years. But here's the great part about Luis Robert Jr., and this is where I think the Mets have a major upgrade. Their production in center field last season, I'm going to read you the numbers, just so you can connect it with actual stats. 210 batting average, 27th in baseball. 598 OPS, 27th in baseball. 7 home runs, 26th in baseball. That's the production they got out of center field. Can Luis Robert Jr. in this lineup, in this situation, can he be better than that? I mean, I hope so. I think he can. By the way, I do warn you, this is for you to keep an eye on, Pete. I record these Ricos here at the WFAN studios off of my phone, which is right now on low battery. So if all of a sudden I drop out, Pete, finish the Rico for me, if you know what I mean. Or I'll give me 3 minutes and I'll bootleg it with a charger. All right.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
As a man, finding a truly great pair of pants can feel impossible. Some wrinkle the moment you sit down. Others look fine but don't travel well, don't move well, or completely lose their shape throughout the day. When you're flying, commuting, or packing light, most pants just aren't built for real life.
That's why there's Jack Archer. JackArcher.com makes the Jet Setter Tech Pant designed to be the one pair of pants you actually need. Comfortable enough for travel, polished enough for work, and versatile enough for wherever the day takes you. The Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built for all-day comfort. With flexible stretch, customizable fit options, and thousands of five-star reviews, these are the pants you'll reach for every day.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order using code GETJACK at JackArcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at JackArcher.com for 15% off your first order.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When winter days are shorter and schedules are packed, it's easy for kids to lose focus. IXL turns that winter slump into momentum with a simple, stress-free way to keep skills sharp and stay engaged without adding pressure. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning across math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade. With personalized practice, instant feedback, clear explanations, and progress tracking, it's easy to fit into even the busiest week. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
So just giving you a heads up on that. So center field should be better by accident. By accident. So when you look at the changes, can we all at least admit, if we're emotional about the players we lost, it's at least the same in a very different way. And yes, like most things in baseball, it's going to come down to health. I mean, I think every team's fan base is talking about that going into spring training. Here's where things are very different, and this is where it's tough to measure offensively. The internal differences. Last season, the Mets got really good production in left field out of Brandon Nimmo. What are they getting this year out of left field? Right now, it could be Carson Benj, it could be Tyrone Taylor, it could be Brett Beatty. Internally, catcher was not very productive last year. You know, Francisco Alvarez had another one of those start and stop seasons. He's hurt to begin, he comes back, he goes to the minor leagues, he looks awesome, he gets hurt. Like, we are at the point with Francisco Alvarez where it's prove it, bro. It's a prove it, bro kind of season. But here are the overall numbers from the catching position last year, which included Alvarez, Hayden Singer, Luis Torrens. .233 batting average, 18th in baseball. .675 OPS, 18th in baseball. And then 16 home runs, 17th in baseball. So a little bit below the average when it comes to offensive production at catcher. Francisco Alvarez making a jump is monstrous. Like, that could be the offensive game changer compared to being 9th in baseball on offense to being a top 3 offense. Same goes when you look at, you know, what are they getting out of DH? Like, if Mark Vientos, who we just pointed out, and Brett Beatty are major factors at that position, can they be the guys, in Beatty's case, who was the second half of last year, who hit lefties and righties, and in Vientos' case, the guy who was awesome from the middle of May on in 2024, that makes a monstrous difference. The other big jump is at third base. Because third base, and speaking of those two guys, was a very mixed bag. You add a Bo Bichette, that is a huge upgrade. The downgrade is first base. Look, they had 38 home runs out of first base last year. Second in baseball. An .860 OPS from first base last year. Second in baseball. They also received, as much as I disagree with this, because my eye test told me he wasn't as bad as he's described, they also are trying to replace a minus 10 defensively at first base, include amongst defensive runs saved. Is Jorge Polanco better than that? I can't say he is, but I also understand those who say, well, it's tough to imagine it far worse. Speaking of defense, because this plays a major role in this discussion, considering David Stearns talks so much about run prevention. According to Fielding Bible, because again, defense is an eye test thing, but you know, I can't sit here and tell you, my eye test tells me this, this, and this. I do at least want to give you the numbers so we could all agree on a middle ground. Defensively last year, the Mets were elite behind the plate. Shouldn't expect that to be any different. They were horrific at first base, a minus 10. They were a plus 9 at second base, which is pretty good. So you question, all right, how much better is Marcus Semien going to be at that position? And my guess would be better. I would say so. Shortstop was a down year from Lindor. So you ask yourself, all right, at 32, 33 years old, can Lindor have kind of a bounce back defensively in left field? At shortstop. In left field, I would expect the defense to be a lot better. We haven't seen Carson Benj yet, assuming he gets up here. But he has been projected to be a pretty good corner outfielder. Center field should be better, assuming Luis Robert Jr. stays on the field. And then here's the big question, and this goes to Juan Soto, who we all adore. Juan Soto said he's going to work hard on his defense. He said, I'm going to be better defensively. And he has proven throughout his major league career, he gets better when he works his ass off. Are we going to see a significant difference from Juan Soto defensively? He was bad last year, according to Fielding Bible. Will he make that jump? We saw him jump in stolen bases. I hope that remains the same, even without Anton Richardson. But are we going to see Soto make that jump defensively? Overall, when you factor in the questions at third base with Bichette, the questions but the low bar defensively at first base, but the upgrade at second, the upgrade in center, the hopeful internal upgrade at shortstop and right field, I do think the Mets will be a slightly better defensive team. Now, I hope it's better than slight, and what could change that is Bichette's adjustment to third and Polanco or Beatty's adjustment to first base. Because the unknown of first base and the unknown of third base is going to put them on a scale where we're not expecting a lot, but they obviously can all come in and be great. I mean, I've made this example a lot during the offseason. Bryce Harper's jump at first base defensively. Wilson Contreras has jumped defensively at first base. It can be done. So I think offensively they should be better. I think defensively they should be better. And it took me a while to get there because it's so different. And when things are so different, it's not just as simple. Like last year we were simpletons. Oh, they added Juan Soto. Done. They're better. Easy. Now, it turned out not to be the case, despite the great year they got out of Soto, because they did score fewer runs. But I think what has been complicated about this is you're looking at so many moving parts to try to figure, all right, are they a better team? And then the other aspect, which I haven't mentioned, and this is going to be huge, is the clutch hitting. This team failed to hit in the clutch early last year. The guys they added, specifically Bo Bichette and Jorge Polanco, were ridiculous in clutch situations last year. If they maintain that, if they keep that up, if they can at least be close to that, that's a huge upgrade over last year. Because a part of why the Mets were ninth in runs scored, sixth in runs scored in the National League, is the clutch hit. They had plenty of opportunities. They hit a lot of home runs, third in the National League or third in baseball. I'll have to double check that. They didn't get the clutch hit enough. And they have added guys that can do that. So overall, I think the offense should be a little bit better than it was last year. Let's get to the pitching, because this is where I'm going to start with the starting staff. We'll get to the bullpen in a second. In the case of the starting staff, it is so similar and yet different. So Freddy Peralta is the game changer. They added an ace. They added a horse. They added a guy who over the last three seasons takes the ball every 5 days. Maybe in this case, 6 days. We shall see. Last year was better than the year before. He may not be the ace, but one thing about Freddy Peralta that they did not have last season is a guy that you feel pretty confident, I knock on wood as I say this, is taking the baseball every 5 days. Game changer to the top of the rotation. The other major change is Nolan McClain. Going into last year, we talked about young players. We talked about potentially Brandon Sproul coming up. He was actually the name we talked about most, no longer here. We talked a little bit about Nolan McClain, very little about Jonah Tong. It was mostly Brandon Sproul. These guys didn't come up until very late in the season, and now we've got McClain not just starting the year with the big team, but starting the year with the big team as the heavy favorite to win Rookie of the Year, and honestly, a guy that I think most of us view as this guy could end the season as the ace. So I think the big difference with the rotation comes from the internal growth of Nolan McClain and obviously adding Freddy Peralta. I also think the pitching has to be better, and I'll tell you why. Yes, they got a lot out of Griffin Canning. Yes, David Peterson got off to a really good start. But there was no Sean Manaea. And I'm going to go out on a limb, and you could save this and mock me for it. Sean Manaea is going to have to be better than what he was last season. I almost find it impossible for him not to be, considering he did not pitch until the very end of the first half of the season, and overall went out and made 12 starts and pitched to a 5.5 ERA. I also would use him very differently. I would use a tag team approach to him and Kodai Senga. And I can't wait till Carlos Mendoza's asked about it. And if he isn't asked about it, good news. We're going to spring training in 3 weeks. We'll ask him about it. So I think Manaea has to be better. The Kodai Senga thing is weird because he ended up making 22 starts and his overall numbers were good. But in April, May, and June, yes, he was amazing. And then was a complete non-factor in the second half. I don't know what to expect from Senga. I almost put him in the corner and say, I expect something similar in that there'll be some good, there'll be some bad, and there'll be some he's not pitching. What do I expect from Clay Holmes? Second year now as a starting pitcher, I almost expect him to build off of that. Same thing with David Peterson. I look at Holmes and Peterson as guys that should be as good, if not better. So far I'm giving you a lot of positives. Let me get to the negatives that need to be replaced. Griffin Canning made 16 starts last year and was damn good until the very end. How do they replace that? Tylor Miguel, we forget him, made 14 starts last year and pitched to an ERA a shade under 4. How do they replace that? Now, the hope is they're replacing that by health, that they're replacing that by they have 6 starting pitchers going into the start of the year. Is it possible the Mets have a lucky year where guys stay healthy? The other way they replace it are 2 young prospects and a young veteran in Tobias Myers. Can Tobias Myers be the Tylor Miguel? That's the name I would sort of compare him to, with the difference being Myers can help him out of the bullpen, something Miguel didn't do. But replacing the starting pitching additions or the starting pitching fill-ins that they needed to use, that's a big one because Griffin Canning made the 4th most starts on the team last year. Tylor Miguel made the 5th most starts on the team. Jonah Tong will eventually be up here. Christian Scott will eventually be up here. But A, when do they have to call upon them? And B, do we see growth from Tong after an up and down couple of starts at the major league level? Christian Scott's a year removed from Tommy John surgery. What do we see from him? So I look at the depth, and that's where I'm excited about it because they're young studs. It's not like their depth is a bunch of crappy veterans they're throwing out there. But are they going to need the depth as much as they did last year? And they did a lot. And what does the depth give you? So I think the rotation has a much higher upside this season, but there is some concern, especially if there are injuries early, in terms of what do they get from the guys filling in. By the way, here are the other names that filled in last year. Frankie Montas made 7 starts, 6.5 ERA. We mentioned Jonah Tong made 5 starts. Paul Blackburn made 4 starts, 6.85 ERA. Brandon Sproat made 4 starts. And then you had Waskar Brazeman, 3 openings. Reed Garrett with an opening. Hagenman, Davinsky, a bunch of openers were used. So it wasn't the best, obviously. That was right around early July when they were in that spot. Now let's get to the bullpen because this is where this is where there's so much volatility. So last year, just for perspective, the Mets actually finished with a better, bullpen ERA than 2024. This is the one aspect where they were actually better in 25 than 24. They were 15th in baseball with a 3.93 ERA as compared to 17th in baseball with a 4.03 ERA. So last year, when you look at the bullpen, the guy who appeared in the most games for the New York Mets last year was Ryan Stanek, who's not here, and he pitched to a 5.5 ERA. So replacing that doesn't feel difficult. Reed Garrett pitched in 58 games to a 3.9 ERA. Reed was very up and down when he was here. He had some good moments. He had some bad moments. He got hurt. He's another one who's not here. Jose Buteau pitched in 34 games last year to a 3.6 ERA. He was also a little up and down. He's not here. The big replacement, though, is Edwin Diaz, and that's where my number one concern lies. Look, Devin Williams has done it before. Okay, I acknowledge that. Devin Williams has been an elite closer in this sport. There is no denying that for what he did in Milwaukee. But I wonder, and I have concerns, and I think they're completely fair, on how Devin Williams reacts to this role in this situation with this team and how he responds to the brutal blown save, which is inevitably going to happen because unless you're Brad Lidge in 2008, you're going to have your bad moments. And so when you look at this bullpen, Edwin Diaz's 1.63 ERA and his ability to get a 5-out or 6-out save like we saw late in the year, that's what's missing. And that's the toughest thing to replace. And that's where it starts with this bullpen. Because when I get to the other aspects of this bullpen, I can make a great case that they'll be better or just as good. But it starts with Devin Williams. And I ask a negative question, but I think it's a fair one to ask. Edwin Diaz was entrenched as the Met closer. And while he did lose his job briefly in 2024, it was brief, and he got it back. Does Devin Williams have that kind of, I guess, room to struggle here? I don't know. Luke Weaver's got closing experience, as we know. AJ Minter, once he's healthy, has a little bit of closing experience. Maybe it's a young guy. You know, you never know. Maybe it's Tobias Myers that they throw in a spot like that. How long of a leash does Devin Williams get? And I apologize for asking such a negative question, but I think it's a fair one. So my biggest concern with this bullpen, and I think it's everybody's, is, okay, how are you going to do closing out games? Are you Edwin Diaz? Edwin was not perfect, but Edwin showed an ability to bounce back. Can Devin Williams do that? I think Luke Weaver, when you look at him through the prism of replacing Reed Garrett or replacing Ryan Stanek, which essentially he's doing, or second half Tyler Rogers, your second most reliable reliever, I feel really good about it. Like when I look at Luke Weaver's struggles at the end of last season with the Yankees, I see a serious line of demarcation. I see where it happened. You know, he got hurt. He came back real quick. He wasn't the same pitcher. He talked about tipping pitches or disagreeing with the Yankee pitching coaches on pitch selections. I am at least more open to, all right, let's see what a new situation and a new season brings. And we saw how good Luke Weaver could be out of the bullpen with the Yankees for a year and a half. He's also, and what I really like about him, the ability to get more than three outs, the ability to get five or six or even seven outs. So I think there's could be a major upgrade when it comes to Weaver. I think A.J. Minter versus A.J. Minter is also an upgrade because A.J. Minter did not pitch last year. We barely saw him. So if I'm taking the leap of faith that he's going to pitch more than, let me calculate the appearances he made last year. I got to go way down the list to find him. Oh, my God. Where the hell is A.J.? Oh, here we go. 13 appearances with a 1.64 ERA, 11 innings. I hope I go out on a limb, we see more of A.J. Minter. Same thing with Brooks Raley. Brooks Raley was brought in the second half of the year, and he was great. He made 30 appearances, but now they have him for a full season. And then the other thing that you always have to feel this way going into a season because this is what relievers do. And I don't want to forget Luis Garcia, fine, whatever, veteran. I guess Luis Garcia, in a way, is the new Ryan Stanek. But can Dylan Ross make a big impact? Is there a young reliever we're not thinking of, whether on this 40-man roster or not, can they make a big difference? Can Craig Kimbrell give them, as a non-roster invitee, a little bit of a push, you know, more production than maybe we see? And the other thing about bullpens, even though it did not work out for David Stearns last year, is those are the kinds of guys you add at the trade deadline. So I think the rest of the Met bullpen has a chance to be better than it was last year. But I am deeply concerned about the Devin replacement for Edwin Diaz. And that's despite knowing, yes, Devin Williams has a good track record. Yes, he's been an elite level closer. I know that. You don't have to explain it to me again. I'm well aware. But there is a level of concern about him doing it here in this situation. So when I look at this, I see an offense that should score more runs. I see a rotation that should be better. And I see a bullpen that's really kind of hanging on the hinges of Devin Williams versus Edwin Diaz. So overall, do I think this team is a better team than last year? They better be, based on the results, not based on the expectations. We had high expectations for the 2025 New York Mets. But is this team currently constructed, as odd as it is, as non-perfect as it is, as many questions as it has, are they better than an 83-win team? My answer is yes. Now, what say you? We're going to do a mailbag edition of the Rico coming up on Friday, so we will certainly take your opinions on, is this team better? It's a simple question, but it's a complicated question. The RicoB at gmail.com. Now, before we leave, because my cell phone battery is now down to 4%, I ask you, Pete Hoffman, who has been very negative about this offseason, I think a lot of us have at different times, hearing all of this, kind of breaking it down in your head, the offense, the pitching, blah, 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 are the New York Mets better, primed to be better in 26 than 25?
It's still like an even part of me. Like, I still have no clue what this team is, and I heard every explanation you gave. I do think that the starting pitching will be better. So that's an upgrade. I'm just concerned about the offense. The defense is better. So, like, if you're going to take two-thirds of the team and say the pitching and the defense will be better, then I guess this is an upgrade.
But as a man, finding a truly great pair of pants can feel impossible. Some wrinkle the moment you sit down. Others look fine but don't travel well, don't move well, or completely lose their shape throughout the day. When you're flying, commuting, or packing light, most pants just aren't built for real life.
That's why there's Jack Archer. JackArcher.com makes the Jet Setter Tech Pant, designed to be the one pair of pants you actually need. Comfortable enough for travel, polished enough for work, and versatile enough for wherever the day takes you. The Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built for all-day comfort. With flexible stretch, customizable fit options, and thousands of five-star reviews, these are the pants you'll reach for every day.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order using code GETJACK at JackArcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at JackArcher.com for 15% off your first order.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When winter days are shorter and schedules are packed, it's easy for kids to lose focus. IXL turns that winter slump into momentum with a simple, stress-free way to keep skills sharp and stay engaged without adding pressure. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning across math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade. With personalized practice, instant feedback, clear explanations, and progress tracking, it's easy to fit into even the busiest week. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
If you're an experienced pet owner, you already know that having a pet is 25% belly rubs, 25% yelling, drop it, and 50% groaning at the bill from every pet visit, which is why Lemonade Pet Insurance is tailor-made for your pet and can save you up to 90% on vet bills. It can help cover checkups, emergencies, diagnostics, basically all the stuff that makes your bank account get nervous. Claims are filed super easily through the Lemonade app and half get settled instantly. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet and they'll help cover the vet bill for whatever your pet swallowed after you yelled, drop it.
Get sweet deals at True North convenience stores when you join True Rewards. Save a dollar when you buy any two king or standard size candy bars. Get more Kit Kat Crunch, Milky Way Caramel, and more peanut M&Ms. Choose any of your chocolate favorites when you grab two king or standard size candy bars and save $1. Become a True Rewards member today and save on so much more. Download from the Apple app or Google Play Store for more details. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
There's just a lot of still question marks.
Yeah. Last year, the Mets' starting pitching ERA was 18th in Major League Baseball with a 4.13 ERA. I think those numbers don't really explain it well because in April, May, and early June, it was the best rotation in baseball. It was historically good. I think at one point they had like a 2.8 ERA, not only as a staff, but in their rotation. So to finish with a 4.13 kind of shows you that they fell off the rooftop. They were 15th in ERA, as we explained. They were 9th in offense. They have to be better in all of those categories. If they are, they're a playoff team. And that's the bar. That it's kind of a lowish bar because even despite what happened last year, they missed the playoffs by not even a game. They were tied. They lost the tiebreaker, much like they won the tiebreaker a year earlier. So the bar isn't that high to get to the postseason. But right now, and we'll make official predictions at the end of the month, they feel like an 88-win team. That, like, if you ask me right now, and this is before Mendy has said a word, this is before watching spring training games, this is before any kind of injuries, and we will make different predictions, or maybe the same predictions, we'll see, on March 25th. Right now, this feels like a high 80s win team. Now, do they have the ceiling to be better than that? Absolutely. Do they have the basement to, you know, be bad? Sure. I think a lot of teams have that. But right now, as I sit here, they feel like a high 80s win team, which should be enough to make the postseason. Is it enough to win the NL East? Probably not.
Like, my magic numbers going into a baseball season right now, with the way the division's constituted, the league's constituted, is I think 86 gets you in. Not a guarantee. 86 wouldn't have gotten him in 24, would have gotten him in 25. But I think 86 is the number to make the playoffs. And I think to win the division, that number is about 93. So they've got to be a little bit better than my expectations right now for them to win the National League East. That's how I sit here today. And then, look, you factor in the manager. I think the manager is overrated in ways. Last year, 2024, we probably overrated how good of a job he did. And then this past year, we blamed him for everything. So I don't look at the manager as a huge factor in all this. A lot of this is going to be internal growth. A lot of this is going to be, what's Francisco Alvarez in a make or break year? What happens to Carson Bench in left field? What is Nolan McLean? Is he what we're dreaming of? Or are we sitting here, you know, in the middle of May, talking about McLean being sent back down to the minors? I know that sounds crazy to say right now, but he's a young pitcher. Like, we don't know. As confident as we are, we don't know. So a lot of times, as sexy as adding Bo Bichette is, as sexy as losing this guy is, it does come down to internal growth. So in conclusion, I think the Mets are a better team than they were last year. Would I give this offseason an A+? I wouldn't. I think as I sit here today with a clearer mind, getting over the emotions, I think this is like a B to B+ kind of offseason where it's okay. It's not bad. I can't say it's awful. And that's putting emotion aside because I have to do that. I can't sit here and cry every week about Pete Alonso. I'm done. You want to hear more of that? Listen to the Pete Alonso tribute. So in conclusion, I give this offseason around a B to B+, and I think we're looking at an 88-win team. What say you?
I'll give it a B-. It's inconclusive right now because, again, the offseason, we're gonna basically judge this off of what they do during the season. But I'll give it a B- because, again, they made a lot of moves. I'm just still concerned and question mark about what – hey, listen, you got Jorge Polanco play at first base. He's never played it before. You know what I mean? Like all that type of stuff. But I do have one final question for you. Is the goal to be better than last year, or is the goal to try to win the NL East? What is the goal?
The goal is always to win the NL East, but what we're talking about is what we think they're capable of and what we think they are. So the goal is to win the NL East. The goal is to get a first round bye, and obviously the goal is to win a world championship. They are not as good as the LA Dodgers. I think them and the Phillies are very close. I think a lot of the Phillies' future is going to be determined by Zach Wheeler. Like, he's not going to be ready for the start of the season. Is he the ace Zach Wheeler, or are we looking at a compromise Zach Wheeler? But, like, if I sit here right now, do I think they're winning the NL East? I do not. Are they capable of winning the NL East? Sure. I think that'd be the answer. But in terms of what the goal is to win the World Series. I'm 42 years old. I'm going to be 43 before this season is over. Enough of having good years. I want to win the World Series. And as I've said many, many times, and I will say again, if you make the playoffs, you have a chance to win the World Series. We all know the Dodgers are better. No one's going to argue that. But can the Mets beat the Dodgers in a best of five? Yeah. Can the Mets beat the Dodgers in a best of seven? A little bit more difficult, but yeah. Can they beat them in a best of three? I'd take my chances on that. Though I'd rather win the division and not even have to deal with that. So,
all right. Well, listen, I don't disagree. The goal should be to win a championship, but I feel like it's just to stay afloat right now this year, which is I don't know why. That's the feel I get.
Well, we'll take your emails on it. How good is this team? Are they better than last year? The RicoB at gmail.com. We'll do a mailbag on Friday this week. Also on the Rico, we'll project the 26-man roster. We'll also break down the 40-man roster as well as the non-roster invitees. So for all you Met geeks, this is the place to be. Thank you very much for listening and downloading another edition of Rico Bronya.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Bronya podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.
As a man, finding a great pair of pants feels harder than it should. Some look sharp but feel stiff. Others are comfortable but wrinkle, stain, or lose their shape by noon. And if you're working, traveling, or constantly on the move, most pants just cannot keep up. That's where Jack Archer comes in.
JackArcher.com delivers one pair of pants designed for real life. Whether it's golf with the guys or date night with someone special, these pants will keep you comfortable and looking polished wherever the day takes you.
That's right, Mark. The Jack Archer Jet Setter Tech Pant is wrinkle-free, stain-resistant, and built to hold its shape all day. With customizable fit options and multiple colors, these are the one pair of pants you'll want to wear every day.
Jack Archer, ready when you are. For a limited time, get 15% off your first order with code GETJACK at JackArcher.com. Again, that's promo code GETJACK at JackArcher.com for 15% off your first order.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Get sweet deals at True North convenience stores when you join True Rewards. Save a dollar when you buy any two king or standard size candy bars. Get more Kit Kat Crunch, Milky Way Caramel, and more peanut M&Ms. Choose any of your chocolate favorites when you grab two king or standard size candy bars and save $1. Become a True Rewards member today and save on so much more. Download from the Apple app or Google Play Store for more details. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.